17, even though we read the whole chapter. We kind of, you know, we're looking here at what Jesus said in John 12, what happened there in the morning. And I thought this was an appropriate passage as we go into Passion Week and also as we come to the Lord's table today. But it's also fitting because this passage really deals with what we've been talking about in this series in the afternoon, which is the church. Church 101, we call it, as a follow-up to the Titus series. So we're going to close that out today. And it's interesting, this passage deals with the important topic of service and how we serve the Lord and how we're motivated to serve the Lord. Because wouldn't you all agree that we struggle at times, don't we, with having joy in service? We know we're called to serve. But let me ask you, are you experiencing joy in what you do for the Lord in serving the Lord? We should be. We should be growing in that area. Are you experiencing joy in your service for God in your job or in what you do in serving at home? And if you're not, then why not? Maybe you feel underappreciated. People don't recognize you. You know, the thing about it is, if you're going to serve, you learn this as a Christian through time, it's not going to always be easy. And it's not going to always be easy or serving easy to serve people. It's imperfect people. It's a lot easier sometimes when we're having to serve people that are lovely or loving towards us. But sometimes it's with harder people. And many times we're called to serve when our own personal lives are not in the best shape, or we're in a stressful time and we don't want to give out. We feel like we've given out, but we don't want to give out. And it might be easier to serve people in our families and churches if they seem to appreciate us more. But then they don't at times, do they? They seem to fail to. Sometimes parents feel that way, or workers feel that way. Or maybe we think, hey, if I could just see the results of what I'm doing in service. You know, the fruit. But we don't always see the fruit right away, do we? And the things that God could really be using through our service to the lives of people around us. But if you're a true Christian here today, you would realize, obviously, that it's important to serve. That's foundational to the Christian faith. That's a part of being in the church, right? To be like more and more like a servant Jesus who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life away as a ransom. And so we're meant to grow and become like him. But it's not always easy, is it? It doesn't take away the difficulty of it. But I think here in this well-known passage of Jesus washing the disciples' feet, we see some great truths about how we grow in service. What motivates us? How God changes that as we look at what Jesus did as he prepared to go to the cross, as this took place on that Thursday and they're in the upper room. Jesus understood the difficulty, perhaps, of serving others, yes, but he also shows us the joy, most of all, of service. God himself, Jesus, days before his death, feeling the pressure of the cross coming, was called upon to humble himself and serve those he loved. And he teaches us about where strength and motivation to serve comes, especially when it's hard. It's hard to serve, and we need to have the motivation. Number one thing we see here is a principle of maturity, of us maturing to become like Jesus Christ. It says, it was just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. And having loved, here's the key thing, having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. See, how did Jesus best exemplify his love to his disciples? Well, certainly he did it through his miracles, and he did it through his ministry and through his teaching when he taught the greatest sermon ever preached in the Sermon on the Mount. But how did he show his greatest love to his disciples? Well, we see here in this example of service in John 13 when he washed their feet. It's when he went to the cross, which is what this washing of their feet was picturing, him showing the full extent of his love for them, loving them as deeply as he could. The final sentence gives his heart to us there. Having loved his own who were in the world, meaning he already ministered to them, already taught them, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And literally, having loved them already, it means in the whole range of Christ's contact with his disciples when he walked with them and ministered with them and to them. It's talking about that. But when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart, it says, from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. That's when he loved them to the full extent. He showed them what he was going to do. Notice some key things in this about Jesus' motivation. What he knew. where his focus was. He was in tune with the Father's will, whom he loved, and how that love inside of him, his men, his disciples, it had to be expressed. Note the flow of the verses. Because he was in tune with the Father's will, knowing the time had come to lead the world, serving these men then flowed naturally, in a sense, or supernaturally, out of being in tune with his Father and his love of his Father and loving his disciples during the time of ministry. Out of that flow, supernaturally, this love, this service, this doing this act of washing their feet, which was unheard of. It flowed out of who he was with his Father and the relationship that he already had with these disciples. And he showed them the full extent of his love. Now, when you think about it that way, and you think about the most menial act of service or something you could do today that you would think is below you as a Christian, or like it was then, serving them, washing dirty feet. Well, when you think about the fact that he had this relationship with the Father, and that he loved them, and then this was a natural outflow of that, well, then it seems this is what he should do. This is who God is. God shows his love in Jesus Christ. Jesus, having spent 3 years with them, then experiencing the Father's love during this time in ministry with him, through his teaching and miracles, here, in this act of humble service, he shows them the full extent of the Father's love. It's a picture, again, of the love that he would carry out on the cross. Through humbling himself, taking the form of a servant, and doing the work of a servant, Jesus, number one, began the process of humbling himself to die on the cross. Most scholars believe this is an actual, you know, it's a part of his salvation work. But it gives us a picture also of what his entire ministry was about in saving his people. And number three, though, it also gives Christians who are saved by his work on the cross, his eternal work of love, an example, a pattern of how that eternal love that saves us is actually applied in our Christian lives by the Spirit, as we depend on the Holy Spirit, as we, as 1 John says, rely on his love. It gives us a pattern of what it means to love. Kent Hughes said, Jesus rises from the supper just as in the incarnation he rose from a perfect place of fellowship with God the Father and the Spirit. He laid aside his garments just as he had temporarily set aside his glorious existence. He takes a towel just as he took upon himself the form of a servant. He wraps the towel around his waist where he had come to serve. He poured water into a basin just as he was about to pour out his blood to wash away sin. He washes his disciples' feet just as he cleanses his children. That's what Ken Hughes said. That's a good picture of it. Jesus loved us so much. God loved us so much. He was willing to die for his people so that he wouldn't have to live without us. See, this wasn't about duty for Jesus. That's what we've got to see. No, Jesus, who is God himself, the Son of God, stooped down out of who he is, served his disciples, doing this menial work because he had already loved them. He had spent time with them. And this is the natural reserve. This is the joy of service and loving them in what was a shocking way to them, but what showed the reality of who God really is. This was the task, again, of a menial slave. They wouldn't even allow the Jewish slave, like a normal slave, to carry out this act of washing people's feet, their dirty, mangy feet. Either you do it on your own, or only the lowliest of Gentile slaves would be able to do this job and take the filth off of feet before they came into the home. In doing this lowly act of service, though, Jesus is showing them, giving them a picture, pointing them to the cross, showing them the full extent of what his love was all about. In this, they could begin to understand what he came to do, what he meant when he said the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. God, who is Jesus, the servant of all, and because of his great love for us, serves us. And in his love for us and other believers, that eternal love, it's as we know that great love more and more, what I want you to see, and we grow in experiencing that love, that we then are able to express that love, that we grow to experience that eternal joy that comes from the love of God that's in Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to remember. The point is, Christ had been loving them up to this point. He fully knew the Father's love. He expressed that love back to His Father. Over that period of time, that love was experienced through Jesus toward the disciples. But now, John says, in that great love, He shows them the full extent of the Father's love and of His love. Jesus, in His ministry coming to the end here, is going to express and does express this love in the ultimate way through the cross. We know that through His humiliation, through His death, and then of course in the resurrection as well. And this great love is pictured in an act of service when He washes their feet. The point is that this foot washing pictures the entirety of the mission of Jesus. Incarnation, perfect life of ministry and love, going to the cross, through this humble act of service, He's revealing the fullness of His love towards them. Through an act of humble service that was so extreme, so unheard of. But it showed them that He was who He said He was. And He was coming to do what He said He would do and give His life as a ransom. But here's the truth for us. As we think about the difficulty of serving and where motivation comes from to serve and true joy, it's this. Jesus loved them already. He has shown that love. And now He's showing the full extent of them. For us, you see, though we are, of course, not Jesus, we need to remember that Jesus lives in us. He lives in us through the Spirit. He's given us new life. The resurrected Lord sends His Spirit living in us, changing us, so that we experience that love and joy that's in the Father, the Son, and the Spirit more and more. You see, and the more we know that joy, the more we learn to love and serve, and we're motivated to do it. We learn something important here. It's only as we're experiencing Christ's love and then expressing that love to those around us that we're going to be joyous in our service. We lose touch with that sometimes, you know. Somebody said you could be working on a spreadsheet and think, there's nobody who cares about these numbers. What does it matter? But they said if you work on the project with love for God in Christ in your mind and love for people in that place, God can use it. He can make it last. As you're working around the house doing routine chores, whatever you do, if you do it, you feel like, well, what does this matter? But if you do it out of an experience of God's love in Jesus, expressing that love for God and for others, God can use it. But the fact is, a loveless service that's just going through the motions and doing the duties is going to always go sour. People around us, if we do it because of what they're going to do for us, you know, scratch their back and they'll scratch my back. And if we have that kind of a love, it's going to always go down on us. It's going to let us down. It's going to disappoint us. See, if you're just serving because, well, this is what I'm supposed to do and I've been doing it for years and, well, I better do it, you know, because this person's not going to think I'm doing the right thing, you know, or I'm not doing enough. It's going to run out. You're not going to be full of joy in your service. You're going to burn out. It's going to be difficult. You might become a person that's difficult to deal with in time. You can. If you do that long enough and carry that load long enough, you can become a person that gets critical of others. It's got the log in the eye, trying to get the speck out of everybody else's eye, like Jesus said. So we have to be cautious of this. We talked about Martha this morning, didn't we? She, you know, in the episode earlier in the gospel, she's upset with Mary, you know, and she lost her joy. You know, Mary's not helping me. You know, she's just listening to you, Jesus. And I'm working. But Martha lost her focus. It became duty. You know, one of my favorite lollies, and I'm trying to get off the lollies now, but, you know, I still like the lollies sometimes, these Sour Patch Kids. And there's some of them, you know, you bite in, and you sweet on the outside, but you get to the middle of it. You know those lollies that are like that? It's sour, you know, in the middle. You taste something sweet at first, but then it gets sour. You got to put in another one, you know, to get the sweet taste. Then it goes sour. And sometimes that's the way people's service is, you know? It's like this roller coaster ride, you know? And it's a lot more sour than sweet. And it leaves a bad taste in our mouths, but we have to ask why. Why? Jesus humbled himself in this incredible way. Why? Because his love, because this love he has. He's in relationship with the Father perfectly. He's loving these men as he walked in ministry, and out of that flowed the full extent of his love for them. Pure joy, growing joy in serving the Lord is tied to experiencing that love of Jesus. It's only as we mature in that, experiencing that love, expressing that love, that more and more will flow a joy in service. That's what we've got to remember. What can we do? Well, we can start small. We can then build strong. We can ask the Lord to help us to see the things that are there and do the little things. We can ask Him to help us make others our focus. Start to be sensitive to the needs that are around us. Ask Him to help us to grow and trust Him and make progress little by little. And I read this story about this guy named Robertson McQuilkin, this professor back in America at a Bible college. Back in the 80s, his wife started to experience memory loss. And she eventually got worse and worse and had to have some full-time care. But while some were encouraging him to do that and get the professional help and go on with his career, he decided to stay with his wife in full-time doing that. And I'm not saying that somebody does that or doesn't do it with the right or wrong thing to do it, but that was his decision. He said it was grounded in God's love for him and Jesus, and also that love that he experienced in 42 years at the time of marriage with his wife. And that made that service, even though it was a humbling thing, an act of love and joy. It was difficult, perhaps, yes, to give up his career at the time, no doubt. Many said he shouldn't do it. But he said it was the fact that he was loved by God and Jesus, and she was loved by God and Jesus, that he experienced that love together with her. And it was a great joy to be able to do even an act like that of humility and humbleness to love his wife. And that's just one example of what we think about when it comes to service. So that's the first thing, is maturity. If we're going to grow in joy and service in the Lord, what else can we learn? And that's the idea of mission. Mission. I like the old story of Einstein, who was on a train bound for New York City. You know, the ticket taker came by walking through the car, and Einstein's trying to find his ticket. He's reaching in his pocket, and he's getting down on the floor trying to find his ticket for the train. And at that point, he's searching, and he can't find it. And this ticket taker comes by and says, "Mr. Einstein, it's okay. We know who you are." And about 20 minutes later, the same ticket guy came by. Einstein still looking under the seat, trying to find his ticket. And they said, "Well, it's okay." They try to reassure him. "We know who you are, Mr. Einstein." And about that time, Albert Einstein looked at this young man and said, "Son, this isn't a matter of trust, but direction. I need to find my ticket because I forgot where I'm going. See, that's a problem with a lot of people in life, a lot of Christians. While they don't experience true joy and contentment and service, they miss out the joy of letting God's love work through them, through being available, being open, and doing tasks and service that others might avoid. Why do they miss out the joy and start to say, you know, the old thing of somebody else can do it? You know, that somebody else is always ready. He's always there, you know, if he is, somebody else will do it. You know, and why do they get like that? It's like the old thing, you know, if when you're moving a piano, there's usually three types of people involved, they say. The person who gets behind and pushes, the person who gets in front and pulls, and then there's always the one who gets the piano stool. But there's people that miss the joy of service because they don't have direction. Mission. There's maturity, but mission. After this event occurred, right before Jesus would serve the Last Supper, it occurred right after an argument had broken out about who was the greatest. We know that from the context of the other Gospels. And they were all fighting over the seats. Who got the best seats? But no one was fighting over the towel. The need that needed to be met of dirty feet. You see, this is why I believe that old somebody else idea gets so popular. The old principle of the church, you know, 20% does 80% of the work. Now, it may not be true in some smaller churches as much, but it's true in some respect. Why don't people want to serve? Why do they miss the joy of meeting needs? This is at the heart of the problem. Why do you have so many not growing from consumerism to being a contributor? From self-focus to sacrifice. They miss what the the joy is, and at the heart of that is the mission that God has given them, and knowing who they are in Christ. It's because they don't know what their lives are really about in Jesus, the direction that God wants to take them. You know, there's an old show, not that old now, called Undercover Boss, and in the show, the guy from the corporation at the top of the company will go into like the lower level stores and disguise himself, or she will, and work with the people, and they don't know at the end, until the end, that it was the head guy. But he does it, or she, to understand what people in the company go through in service and day to day, what will help them in what they're going through, to understand what service in that particular company is all about, and to help them to become better servants. See, this actually is why Jesus came. When you think about service, he came with mission, God's direction, through carrying out his mission of salvation, to die on the cross and rise from the grave and save us by grace. And then, as we trust in him and have his power in us, to look to his pattern and to be changed and live our mission of following him, of being his disciples, of being his missionaries. Later on, Jesus tells them in this verse 16, "Most assuredly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him." Like the old story that I may have told here a long time ago of this man who would go on his walk every day. He'd walk by this mall that was being built up, and he began to notice this guy working up one of these big cranes, and he watched the guy operating the crane, and then he was motivated by it. And every day he'd walk by there just to see this guy, because he's working so hard on this crane and doing his job, you know. And one day the guy got off the crane and went down, and this guy who had been watching him goes up and he says, "You know, I walk by here every day, and I see you working so hard. It's really an inspiration to me, and man, it motivates me." And the crane operator looked at him and was a little astonished. He said, "Well, I thought you were my supervisor." Who do we serve? We grow in service when we know who we serve. We know our direction. We know Jesus and we know the Father as he works in us. The fact is, you and I are ultimately doing service because we belong to Jesus. And then we're experiencing his love, and we don't worry as much about what others think. We do what he's called us to do. And that's where joy is. That's where the purpose and mission is. That gives us a totally different perspective when we recognize the fact that God rejoices in what his people do. Even the littlest of things that might seem small, when we do them out of love for God, he recognizes it. He rejoices. He sees what we do. He sees our heart. He enjoys it, the Bible even says, when we're serving him and we're focused on him. And that's where joy and service and work matters, not how small or seemingly mundane it seems to be. And there's nothing that brings greater joy to work than knowing that we do it for the Lord. When we serve others with God's love, recognizing him as our Savior, our King, our Creator, we know that it brings incredible joy to the heart of God. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father, if you look there, had the Father given him all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. Jesus had this ultimate sense of confidence, direction that enabled him out of that greatness to humble himself and meet the need that came out of who he is and who he is and where he was going. Jesus wants to work in us, give us confidence. He knew the Father's plan for his life. He knew who he belonged to, that he had come from God on a mission of greatness. He was going back to the Father, and that empowered him. That was at the heart of him serving with such joy. And we share in that, those that trust in Jesus Christ to a certain extent. We grow in knowing that joy, in that mission, and in that purpose. Somebody said this, people who are in an identity crisis are never going to be good servants. They're too busy, too much trying to focus out their own lives, figure out who they are. They don't have anything left to give most of the time to others. But people who grow in Christ, they know they're maturing, they know their mission, they're assured in Christ of salvation. They grow to know out of this joy and assurance that's in Jesus, it's not in you or me or something we made up. It's who we are in Christ. Out of that, we start to have that sense of being able to serve the Lord and help others and do things because we do it for the Lord, not because others will think this is a lesser thing or not think we're as important as they are. Because we do it out of a greater sense. We're in Jesus. We know who we are in Him. We know He saved us. We know He set us apart for heaven. Mike Mappa said, Jesus knew who He was. Jesus knew there was nothing and no one in all creation who was His equal. So He got up from the meal and started washing the disciples' feet. Now, obviously, we're not Jesus. Jesus is unique. But we are saved in Him. We do share in His joy. We are growing to become like Him. We do know our purpose. One theologian said, Jesus did what He did because He knew what He knew. Why did He serve and get down on His knees and wash the disciples' feet, take up the towel? Kent Hughes said again, he said, we become people of the towel realizing who more and more we are. The power that impedes us and the grace to wash another's feet is proportionate not only to how we see Jesus, that's top priority, but how we see ourselves in light of how we see Jesus. Our Lord saw Himself as King of Kings, and then He washed the disciples' feet. See, it's more blessed to give than receive, right? That verse is essential. We've got to understand, what does that mean? What does it mean when it says in 2 Corinthians 9, God loves a cheerful giver? Does it mean we make ourselves cheerful, you know? And then He loves us then because we've done something? No. Because if we know He loves us, then out of that comes cheerful giving. He loves a cheerful giver. Out of the love flows the cheerfulness. Yes, it's more blessed to give than receive. Because, yes, there are good feelings in giving. But ultimately, because those who know who they are in Jesus and His assurance and grace and know therefore why they're here and where they're going, they give out of the joy that they experience that they already have more and more. That's the gospel. That's grace. That's what we got to remember. For Jesus, this act did not define Him that He got down and washed their feet. No. Because of who He is and His greatness and grace as the Son of God, this defined the act. He defined it. He forever changed the idea of something degrading like foot washing and just this idea of service. He redefined it because of who He is. Sometimes we're unwilling to serve and do things, and we can all struggle with this, can't we? Because this is a process, right? Being sanctified, becoming like Christ. So it's not like an overnight thing. We've got it all together. We all have our ups and downs. But sometimes we're unwilling to serve and do things that seem beneath us because we think, well, you know, this person's going to think differently of me, and I've got to hold up my status, what I appear to be, where I think my confidence is. You've got to peel back the layers and say, Lord, help me to see who I really am in You. What You really called me to be. Where is my identity and my mission? Jesus shows us that true joy and service comes from that one growing in security in Jesus, not in themselves, through His mission and purpose, as well as maturity, through that confidence. It's like the saying, what Paul says in the verse in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus knew the time had come, verse 1, for Him to leave this world, go to the Father. Verse 3, that the Father had put all things under His power. And He knew, verse 3, that there that He come from God was going back to God the Father. And pure joy, as we grow in character and maturity, we experience joy more and more as we know who we belong to, who we're becoming, like Jesus, where we're headed. And that's what helps us to live differently and serve others in love and find joy in difficult things. Tom Holliday, this writer, says, servants aren't people who don't know where they're going. No, they have a strength of direction, an internal spiritual compass in their life that says this is more and more the direction I'm to go by God's grace. That's what we're called to do. A servant knows more and more in Jesus Christ who he is and where he's going, and and chooses out of that growing strength and assurance and faith to give of himself for Christ and to those around him to show that amazing love that's in Jesus Christ. Like the story, like this billionaire oil guy in some place many years ago. Don't even know for sure if it's a true story, but apparently he wanted to find a husband for his only daughter. And he wanted to do this search by having this get-together. And he owned this big pool that dominated the backyard. And as men were there, he's going to try to figure this out with this made-up story. They noticed that the pool was filled with sharks and all these animals and alligators. And he comes up to the patio and he gives this speech about how much he loves his daughter. And he wants the right person for her, the right man. And he says, if anyone who will jump in my pool and swim to the other side will have their choice of either all this money or my daughter in marriage. And they were speechless because none of them wanted to jump into that water, of course. But the silence was broken by a splash, and everyone turned to see one of these men swimming to the far side of the pool as fast as he could, leaping out of the water, shaking himself off, coming back to where the people were. And this man, the tycoon, came up and gave the guy a handshake and congratulated him. And he said, well, do you want the money? He said, well, no. He said, well, do you want to take my daughter's hand in marriage with a tear in his eye? And to the surprise of the other men, the young man said, no, sir. What I want to know is the name of the other bachelor who pushed me into the pool. What I'm saying is this. Jesus came out of a love. We know, as it said, no man loves greater than to give up his life for his friends. And he came out of this love, voluntarily giving his life to give us eternal life. And it's that love experienced and expressed between us that we have in Jesus Christ in the church, in our relationships, in our church relationships, and family relationships. That's where that joy in serving one another flows from. Jesus and that eternal confidence in his relationship with God the Father, the love from the Father that he's shown to these people, now showing the full extent of it. That's where the confidence and joy was. That's where we grow in that as well. And he got down to serve these disciples, doing what was seen as a degrading task, what needed to be done, because he was focused on eternity. He knew what he was about and why he was there. And so he served. And again, we're not Jesus, of course, but we are his representatives in the world. And we do learn important truths here about real joy and service and who we are in him and the confidence that develops here in that. It's only as Jesus is living in you and me that we'll develop and we grow in love, knowing who God is and who we are, and experience more and more of the joy that he wants us to have. So we need to remember that as we seek to serve him and live for him. We need to remember the greatness of his kingdom. And we see the final point here as we close is motivation. Verse 5, Jesus begins to wash their feet one by one. And finally he comes to Peter. And Peter, what he says, provides an opportunity for Jesus to teach a lesson about the great need for his eternal love and service. You see it in verse 6. Peter says, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? And Peter said, you'll never wash my feet. Jesus said, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. See, sometimes we run out of energy and gas and strength to serve because we're trying to do it in our own resources. Many times deep down we're trying to gain approval. Sometimes we need to get down to the heart of what is motivating us to serve. Notice, as I said, the bowl, the water, the towel were all there, and there were a bunch of dirty feet. But notice that Peter didn't say, you know, Lord, I ought to be the one to wash these feet. None of the disciples said it either, did they? Many times it's not a lack of resources that deters us in serving. It's our pride. Jesus says, unless I wash you, you have no part of me. He said, Peter, you need me. You need my amazing grace. You need what I'm going to do for you. And you'll continually need that. You don't need just your physical feet washed. You need your soul washed. You need me to serve you and serve you in the ultimate way to overcome your pride and transform your life. And this is This is why Jesus told him, unless I wash you, you can have no part in me. Jesus is saying that the church has received, those true Christians have received the essential cleansing by him through what he did on the cross. We're forgiven. We're totally forgiven. We've received the bath, okay? But we've got to continually have our feet clean. We've got to be washed as we confess our sins. And that's one of the things we remember as we come to this table today. We know that if we're true Christians, we've been washed. We've been given the bath. Jesus died for our sin. We've been forgiven. But we've got to continually come and be washed and cleansed, have our feet clean spiritually as we confess our sin, as we focus on His great love for us. The Lord's table is truly a table of His service. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And to give His life as a ransom for many. Folks, this alone is what we know how we're saved. This is also how we grow to serve as we reflect and we look to His grace.